The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, here we go right there, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. Stick the index finger into the air. Hour number one of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages of the morning at a Cowbell Friday. Yeah, baby, pull on them Jordache jeans, boy. Pull them up real tight. Cinch up that belt. Take out that neon comb. And brush back that Keith Partridge hair. You know it. Look at yourself in the mirror with a big old grin. The party's not going to be the same without you, is it? Punch it, Bear! Everybody's working for the week. Hour number one of the Doug and Wolf Show on a Cowbell Friday. Bang that thing if you got it, Douglas. Bang that thing, command and control, if you'd like. More cowbell is what we need on a Cowbell Friday. Get ready. The weekend is here, brothers. Yeah! You want a piece of my heart? You better start from the start. I'm done, Douglas.
Are you ready to broadcast right now?
Ready to go?
I didn't want to get in the way in any way. Top 25 ASU this weekend. How are they going to handle it?
Top 25 right there. That's right. Now all of a sudden you're expected to win a game. How does that change the dynamic, Herm Edwards, right?
Exactly. Good column at ArizonaSports.com by Dan Bickley this morning. Or I think it was yesterday. But I'll never forget going to that game at Oregon State under Todd Graham. Remember, ASU got all the way up to number 6 in the actual college football playoff rankings, where the people sitting around the big rectangle who determine who's going to play for the playoffs said, we believe in them. And they went up to Oregon State, and I have never seen more human beings other than on National Geographic huddle around heat sources in my life than I saw ASU players.
Any
heater anywhere, they had 7 guys around it. They couldn't get on the plane to go home fast enough. Luckily, you don't have to worry about that against Colorado, but just, okay, how are you going to deal with that? Let's go.
Can I just tell you right now, based on when I was a grizzled veteran, and I don't think you get grizzled until you're after like year 6. Year 7. Somewhere in there, I think, is when you start to become a little jaded, right? The grizzled veteran in the National Football League. It's certainly not the first 5 years you're in the league. I think it's still kind of new at that point in time. Even though you're a veteran, there's no doubt about it. Your career is being established and has been established once you get 5 years. When you get 6, 7, you start to become a little grizzled. I think that's the time where the grizzling actually happens. And I can tell you right now, when I became a grizzled veteran, there were 2 things that really bothered me about my teammates. 2 things that I would actually speak up and say something to them about. Number one, complaining. Number one, complaining about the cold.
Okay.
That was number one right there. Do not complain about the cold. And number two, the young guys looking at the cheerleaders. I'm just telling you that right now. I literally would come out of the tunnel. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Yelling at the rookies, right? Don't do it. I mean, honestly, you played in the Coliseum against the Raiders, and they would line the Raiderettes in. I've told you this, Douglas. They would line the Raiderettes up. Down the tunnel. Now, just ask yourself right now, based on earnings, why do you think they were doing that? Why would they do that when we came out of the tunnel? It wasn't when the Raiders came out of the tunnel. It was when we came out of the tunnel. There's the Raiderettes all the way down to the field.
It's so funny that you say that because...
And they hold you in the tunnel for a couple of minutes. And these, I kid you not, you'd get catcalls in there. Not me.
Not the attractive men. What's funny about this to me, for those of you that don't know, even though I'm originally from Ohio, I spent a really interesting 3 years of my radio career in Kansas City. And a guy that I did a show with that became a dear friend of mine is named Tim Grunhardt. And there's no way a lot of you are going to remember him. But if you remember the name, if you're hardcore football, Dermonti Dawson of the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion, he was by far and away the best center in the AFC. AFC at that time. And I'll stand up and give you a pretty good argument that I thought Grunney was the second best. Now, the gap was pretty big, but I thought Grunney was the second best center during that time.
Yeah, and I think in the Wolfley compound, I think talking to Craig, we'd probably say the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
He played for 11 years, and the only cheerleaders he ever talked about, ever, was the Raiders. And being a Chief, you know, he played them once a year in Oakland, and I don't think he played them in Los Angeles, and would talk about how ridiculous it was. And it was the level that those women went, they were clearly being coached to do it.
Unbelievable. Definitely being coached to do it. They were there for a reason to begin with, Basinonians, right? And then they were being coached. And not only that, during the game, they would do the same thing.
They'd really?
Be close
the game,
to the bench.
Too.
During the game, behind your bench, they would do the exact same. I'm just telling you right now, those two things, complaining about the cold and young guys, that were the first 3 years in the league, looking at the cheerleaders. Don't do it. You don't want to be thinking about soft and beautiful as you're getting ready to go out and brawl. No way. And they made you think of that stuff. Soft and beautiful. You want hard and ugly when you're getting ready to go out and play a football game. Hard and ugly. That's good.
I immediately thought of the word hibachi because I was going to talk about other teams' cheerleaders when you said that. And then I thought, no, I'll pass on.
No.
And now it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Here we go, Benny.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning is your play-by-play from the weekend. If you want D-backs there in San Diego, they'll go FM, FM, AM, if that's easy to remember.
No.
Tonight, they're on Arizona Sports. Tomorrow night, they're on Arizona Sports. Sunday afternoon, they're on ESPN 620 AM.
Say that one more time, the FM, AM, FM. What is
it was FM, FM, AM.
Oh, there it goes. There's, right
that's
there.
Your D-backs. Right. You want Rising, that's Saturday night. They're on the road. They go for win number 21 in a row. 7:30, that'll be on ArizonaSports.com, streaming. And if you want ASU, they're on AM Saturday night, ESPN 620, taking on Colorado, their first appearance in the top 25 under Herm Edwards.
So important to actually play well in this game, right? It's one thing to go up and beat Michigan State and East Lansing. Now what do you do?
Finish.
Number four.
Number four this morning. Obviously an opinionated statement, but if you saw it, you'll agree with me. Football is dead. The NFL is dead. It is going on a slow death, and you can lie to yourself all you want and act like, no, it'll be all right. No. It died last night. Last night, if you watch the first play of the fourth quarter, that's all you have to do. Watch the first play of the fourth quarter. I don't know. I'm not going to blame Sean Hockley because maybe that's what they're coaching these officials to do. Leonard Fournette's in the backfield. He steps a step and a half to his left. I think he realized he was on the wrong side, picking up the blitz on the wrong side. He immediately runs all the way over to the right side, and a blitzer comes around the right tackle of the offense. Doesn't see Fournette, even though Fournette is between him and the quarterback. Hits the guy in the chest, and it's called an illegal blindside block on blitz pickup. It's over.
All right, more on this as the show unfolds.
If you're actually calling that as a real-life penalty...
Stop it!
We're done.
Number three!
Number three, Josh Rosen is the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Josh Rosen getting the opportunity. I hope it goes well for the young guy. I really do.
Is there anybody that deserves more prayers and thoughts and hope, only from a football context that everything's okay in real life, than this guy who has been given the two worst NFL situations in the history of a starting quarterback when they've gone to two different franchises?
ESPN's going to do a 30-30 on
Josh
Rosen.
Yes, they will.
Number two!
Number two this morning. How about this? Keekly on Kyler. It's just cool that Keekly even knows him.
He's athletic and he's fast and he's quick. And he's one of those guys where the play's never dead. And, you know, you can cover guys, but you got to cover him. He's like Russell Wilson in that sense that you got a guy covered for majority of the time. You got a great pass rush, and he's a guy that can scramble and run around and create options for his receivers as the play progresses.
You know what's been even more impressive to me, at least, is the fact he hasn't been scrambling around. He hasn't been doing a lot of that.
I don't want him to just scramble, but I do want him to go a little more.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, Ron Rivera is sick of you.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
Golly, Ron.
Golly. We'll drop the golly next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Every question asked to Ron Rivera at the beginning of his daily presser was Cam Newton related.
Ron, would you think Cam would travel in either event, or would that be decided tomorrow?
See, you guys want to watch, sit there and watch, so you'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
You felt before the opener you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow. Okay? Thank you.
Golly. Golly.
I love the golly.
You got to be kidding me right now. I mean, listen, there's one of two things that is happening right here when you listen to Ron Rivera. Number one, he knows that Cam Newton is not going to play. He knows that Cam Newton has no chance of playing, and he's sitting here 0-2 frustrated that Cam Newton is not going to be playing. That's number one, right? Number two, I would say maybe he wants the Arizona Cardinals to believe Cam Newton is not going to play. And that's why he walked out. For the very reason I just said that, you know what, Ron Rivera knows he's not going to play, and he wants people to think there's no way Cam Newton's going to play. And that's why I'm frustrated, and I don't want to talk about it, and that's exactly why I'm going to walk out this door.
Could there be an option three?
And then Cam Newton actually plays.
There'd be an option three that he's just being honest. He really doesn't know, and this is a game time decision, and everybody get off my back?
There's no way. There's no way he's going to miss the entire week, I think, and then he's going to throw Cam Newton out there. I don't think that's going to be the case, in particular when you got T-Sizzle and Chandler Jones coming off the edge. That's just me.
Can you give us an update on your quarterback situation?
Nope.
Can't do it right there. I think it's going to be Kyle Allen.
I think it's going to be too.
Kyle Desert Mountain Zone. Kyle Allen. Are you kidding
me
right now?
It is kind of cool. If we go local for a second, is there a chance that DJ Foster, Kyle Allen, Byron Murphy, and and Christian Kirk are all going to be on an NFL field in Glendale?
Yes.
That's really cool.
You know, it is really cool. There's no doubt about that, Douglas, but...
Congratulations to all the local football coaches that don't give plays up to other football coaches.
How much will the Panthers actually commit to running the football now, right? I mean, how much will this change the strategy if, in fact, it is going to be Kyle Allen? As I am guessing that it's going to be Kyle Allen, how much does that actually change the Carolina Panthers and Norv Turner?
Come on, Norv Turner. Flea flicker, first play.
And what it is they're going to do, right? I mean, the Cardinals' defense has kept running backs under 4 yards per carry through two games. Now, not the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have hurt them on boots, zone reads, and scrambles, but that's not the same as getting your face kicked in on the line of scrimmage. Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah, amen.
Do we understand, ladies and gentlemen? That's not the same. Lamar Jackson on a bootleg around the corner, that's not the same as getting your face kicked in when they're running inside zone, or they're running power, or they're running ISO. It's not the same thing. And the Cardinals have done a nice job when they hand the ball off to a running back. They've kept those running backs in total. Combined, they've kept them under 4 yards a carry. That's pretty good right there. The Panthers want to keep Chandler Jones and T. Suggs off of Kyle Allen. So the best way to do that is to run the ball and do it effectively. it's going to be interesting to see how much they double down on trying to run the ball against the Arizona Cardinals. At some point in time, they've got to open it up. But the biggest thing is they want Kyle Allen in third and manageable situations. Run the ball. Use play action.
You can imagine the defensive coordinator of the opposition just said, oh, of course, here.
I watched a little bit of the Saints game, and I guess he played a half of the Falcons game last year, and he's a talent. He's very functional. He has a good arm. He's mobile. He has a great poise in the pocket. So we'll see. You know, we'll see who plays.
I love that. Well, because I hope I get to the point, you know, obviously notwithstanding yesterday late in the show, but I hope I get to the point in life where no one says, oh, he's functional.
Yeah, functional,
that's what
I mean, it was a goodly thing to say.
He's
right
talented.
There.
He's a talented guy. Oh, okay, he's a talented guy. He's functional. Oh.
That's so good right there from Vance, right? But I think what makes him uncomfortable is just he doesn't have a huge sample size of Kyle Allen.
I think that
probably is what makes him very uncomfortable. Listen, coaches, they know one thing. The big eye in the sky doesn't lie. That's what coaches, oh my goodness, they'll tell you that over and over. It's a coaching axiom. The big eye in the sky don't lie. Tape, tape, tape. That's what they want. They build this resume, if you will. They build this folder filled with information based on certain players over years. Tape is what they want. They just don't have a lot of tape on Kyle Allen.
Here's something you need to hear. It's kind of cool. Number one, if you're ever in a locker room, make sure you either A, use a free microphone and a mic cord, or get your recording device right next to somebody's mouth.
If you don't know that.
Okay. But having said that, somebody asked in the media Christian Kirk this week a little bit about Kyle Allen, and there's going to be a lot of background noise, so turn it up a little bit in your car. But this is really amazing. Did you know Kyle Allen went to some Cardinals games last year?
He did?
Yeah.
Every week. And, you know, obviously training camp and, you know, when he won the backup job, was obviously super excited for him because, you know, he was cut after week one last year. They brought him back week eight. But I remember him being back home and coming to the games out here. And, you know, he didn't have a job and didn't know if he was going to be back on our team. And, you know, now he's the backup to him. So, you know, just the way that he's worked to get to the point that he's at now. And, you know, obviously, you know, has a chance to step in whenever.
So if you didn't he was on Carolina, got cut week one and didn't make the roster, came back home. And listen, you could feel what Christian Kirk was saying. Didn't have a job and he went to some games here. So he was in the crowd watching his high school team and his Texas A&M teammate, I should be more specific. And then got the call in week eight and went back to Carolina.
Yes, you know what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping the Arizona Cardinals, of course, win this game. They go 1-1-1 after 3 weeks of the season. 1-1-1. Isn't that interesting, K1? Isn't it?
Oh, boy.
But I also will tell you right now that Kyle Allen lights it up. I'd love to see this kid come in, come home, State Farm Stadium, light it up. I'm rooting for the kid to light it up.
Well, I don't know.
I want to see the Cardinals win, but I'm rooting for him to light it up.
Kyle, I don't know if you want any help from a local talk show host.
No.
That has never been asked by any NFL coach, what do I think about plays? Ever. But in my opinion, throw it to the tight end.
That's a good place to start when you got Greg Olsen.
And you've got the Arizona Cardinals defense.
I think it's all us, honestly. You know, the first touchdown they scored on Sunday, that's just our era. You know, and week one, they made some plays from that position. They had some good plays called, so that's just part of football. But, you know, we have to play better, obviously. You know, that's overall, you know. We are focused on keeping the points to a minimum, you know, not containing one player each week. It's about overall points. So, you know, whoever is making plays is our job to stop them. So,
I don't know how you feel about Vance Joseph, what he said there. The question is, why have tight ends been so successful?
Right.
And I kind of say, I understand it's supposed to stop everybody, but if you look at it so far this year, 10 guys haven't really hurt the defense that bad, unless you include the quarterback as the guy that's throwing it to the tight end.
Yeah.
Tight ends torched them.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, right now, whose job was it to cover Andrews in that situation against the Baltimore Ravens? That's what I want to know. Who actually blew that assignment right there? Whose job? You know what? Honestly, we've got Paul Calvisi. He's a sideline reporter. Paul, just once, get to the bottom of that. Whose job was that? Who blew the assignment? We got to get Paulie on that.
Coming up in about an hour and a half, exclusive conversation with the general manager, and we'll find out if Jalen Ramsey's coming. I'm sure Steve Keim will tell us, but we'll ask. The general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim, every Friday at 7:45. Up next, Wolf just said it. I hope they go 1-1-1. I said they will go 1-1-1.
K-1.
So what do the Cardinals need to do to get the win? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul Calvisi just walked into the Octane Community Studios. Ron Rivera has walked out of the Octane Community. No. Just walked out of his own press conference.
Well, you know, you mess with a Cal guy and you get the door. That's what you get.
The when we talk as far as Cardinals offense, let's spend a minute before we go deep into X's and O's of the Cardinals offense and spend time on who Larry Fitzgerald is as a person, in which the name somebody that you know that combines confidence and humility as well as Larry Fitzgerald. Are you more open this year?
Not necessarily. I've been getting open a long time.
I've been getting open for a long time.
That's fantastic. And then, hey, were you underutilized under Bruce Arians? Now, really think about how you would answer this if you had Fitz's skill, and try to put this into your own life when a boss asks you questions.
I mean, honestly, every coach has different philosophies and things, and I just try to make myself indispensable by, you know, doing what I'm coached to do. And
is that amazed me? I try to do what I make myself indefensible by doing what my coach coaches me to do. I admit I probably need a little bit of that around the office. I accept it. How many of you say, you know what? I'm going to do what the boss asked me to do as well as I can. And then when I get a new boss, I'll do what the boss asked me to do as well as I can.
That's right, Doug. Are you making yourself indispensable today? That's what you need to ask yourself when
as
you show up.
As long as Michael Vick doesn't call in, yes, I am.
And you sit next to Hanrahan in the cubicle today. Are you indispensable, yes or no? Because I was standing there, and there's Larry. And there's Larry coming off his first back-to-back 100-yard game since 2015. He hasn't had four receptions of 40-plus yards in a season since 2011. He has four of those through two games. Realize, a year ago, the Cardinals, as a team, as an offense, had four pass plays, four total all season of at least 40 yards, and zero by Larry.
It's incredible.
So as we're peppering him with questions, what's he doing? He's just stiff-arming every one of us. He's just, you know, I'm not answering. I'm not talking about myself. I'm not talking about my season. He was getting back to, but come on now. Come on. And if nothing else, here's a question I want an answer to, and he won't answer it. I wonder if Jerry Sullivan came in and said, this team is not utilizing Larry as a deep threat, as an outside receiver, like we know he is capable of doing, and we haven't seen that in a number of years. And Jerry Sullivan, having not been here for a few years, all he recalls is the Larry who was a deep threat back when Jerry was his position coach.
Yeah, that's interesting, Paul. I have no idea if that is in fact the case. I do know this. They have Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has changed everything right now. He looks at Larry Fitzgerald. He looks at Larry. He looks for Larry out there. Realizes that Larry is open even when he's covered. I mean, we've seen that too, even on deep balls.
Oh, yeah. Here's the question to Fitz yesterday. Are you having more fun this year being a deep target?
At this, I don't need another catch or another yard or another touchdown. I mean, it's not gonna change anything for me at the end of the day. I mean, what makes me happy is winning and being competitive in games and, seeing, the guys like Trent and Christian making plays, because I see the hard work they're putting in every single day. That's what makes me happy, honestly.
How about when he said, what makes me happy is, is winning, and then and being competitive in games. I mean, we're at the point where he just had to throw that out compared to what he went through last year.
I mean, Doug, if you go back, 2 months ago, we were talking about the Cardinals going into camp. What were we all saying? You know what? Just be competitive this year. No idea how many games they're going to win or lose. Just don't get routed by halftime. The stats were so lopsided in so many games. You're just be competitive. And by the way, Larry, what will another catch do for you? Well, if you're asking the question, 10 more catches and you're number two all time on the receptions list. So, yes, catches will change the dynamic for you because you're about to pass Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Fame tight end.
I tell you, I don't have the courage to say it. I admit it. I don't have the guts to actually say Larry Fitzgerald's the greatest quarterback of all time. Or, excuse me, the greatest wide receiver of all time. He would probably want me to say quarterback because he's thrown a couple passes.
No. Sure.
I don't have the courage to say it. But isn't it fair to bring up the quarterbacks he's caught passes from and the skill level of the quarterbacks, Jerry Rice? I mean, can we at least throw that out there a little bit for the conversation?
Just roll it out there. Listen, we all know Jerry Rice right now, at least statistically, the greatest ever. There's no doubt about it. But when you're as good as they are, when you're as good as Jerry Rice and Larry Fitzgerald, it doesn't really matter. Do you have to go ahead and actually pick one over the
other? I don't know. I do wonder, give him Joe Montana and Steve Young, and then let's play.
Absolutely.
Like, what would happen?
Listen, I don't know what would happen, but I do know this right here. What's going to happen on Sunday with the Kyler Murray matchup against that Carolina Panther defense? That's what I want to know right now. This is the matchup of the game, Basin Orleans, going in. Kyler Murray's ability to throw the ball against the Panthers' pass defense. It is the strength of this defense. From top to bottom. It's not the run defense anymore that is as strong as it once was. It isn't. Now, it's only through two games. It's a very small sample size. But at the same time, the Panthers are number three in passing yards per game and number nine in passing yards per play. Put the two together, they're good. They're real good. And it starts with their corners, Dante Jackson and James Bradbury. Good corners. Good secondary, solid. They're buttoned up on the back end. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Kyler Murray's ability to throw the ball against the Carolina Panthers pass defense. That's number one.
And specifically, Luke Kuechly. All the guys talk about his ability to read the play. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the way guys would talk about Todd Bowles.
Yes.
And his pre-snap recognition and how Todd Bowles would be on the sideline during a game, and as they would break the huddle, anywhere in the next 5 seconds, he would shout out the play into the headset as to what was coming. And from all accounts, that's Luke Kuechly. And you have a rookie quarterback in his third start going against the football IQ of Luke Kuechly, Mr. 17 tackles against Tampa on Thursday night, and the safety. To me, that's the matchup of the game. Kyler against Kuechly there, Doug. Two more Ks for you.
And guess what? Paul might have seen the Friday walkthrough sheet that could be coming up today. By the way, this is a little bit interesting. Kind of to Paul's point, Luke Kuechly was asked, is there anything you can take advantage of since Kyler's a rookie?
In the first few games, he's looked really good. Looks like he's got a good feel for what's going on. I'm sure he's pretty comfortable with what that offense is doing. And obviously, as a guy, there's a little bit of a sense of these things are new. But he looks comfortable back there. He doesn't look like a guy that's only played two games.
He's trying to be so complimentary.
I know he is.
He not, even though he knows what it is that he's going to do. It is, Paulie. You bring up a great point. Drew Brees talks about it all the time. Drew Brees! He talks about it all the time. The fact that Luke Kuechly is like a coach on the field, and it's all about the pre-snap read and winning the pre-snap read. Does that apply to this offense?
Drew Brees!
That's what I want to know.
You know what, Mr. Kuechly? This ain't Ryan Lindley throwing you two gift interceptions in that playoff loss by the Cardinals in 2014 at the goal line, okay, pal? All right, you're going to get Kyler Murray, and hopefully it's going to be a different dynamic.
Get off, Ryan.
Sick and tired of Luke Kuechly just terrorizing and victimizing this team over the last decade.
Remember being in Carolina before the Super Bowl and 5 interceptions, was it, by Jake DeLome?
Jake DeLome. Yeah.
Apologizing to his own team in the huddle in the fourth quarter.
Right. That ruined him right there.
I know. He was never the same.
Never the same.
He was a good quarterback.
Yes, he was.
He was.
Good quarterback. He was solid. That ruined him.
Man.
DRC started that. He got that pick, and then it just fell off a cliff from there for Jake DeLome.
Oh, man. That was
Dominique.
Still incredible.
And if you remember that game, Carolina came out five plays into the end zone, just jackstomped the Cardinals' defense. And I still remember in the first commercial break, we're all like, well, it was a nice playoff win against Atlanta in week one. We're all done now. And then the Cardinals just took off from there.
That was Pash.
That was Pash. I was trying to save Dave. It was Dave, and Dave, you know it was you.
You know what? For once, I think we all would have agreed with Dave if we would have heard it. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? If not, subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. Sorry, Vincent Bernsey, for just spitting all over the mic. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast.
Come on.
It's brought to you this week by Kinetico.
Petunia.
I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden, just stuff started flying.
Padres.
I'll go get a wipe for you, Vince.
The podcast.
Coming up next, will the Cardinals, hey, Vince, follow this when I spit all over. Will the Cardinals run the ball more on Sunday? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I will establish my bar. I then ask Ron Wolfley for you to establish yours. Where I set the bar on, I'll actually listen, believe, and accept the excuse, well, we were trailing in the game, and that's why we didn't turn to the run game.
Yeah.
Two-possession deficit late in the third quarter, or three-possession deficit at any moment in the second half, is when I'll say, you know what, okay, I get it. But don't just say, well, we were trailing, because you gave up a touchdown in the first quarter, and that's why you didn't run the ball anymore.
I see.
So before we get into it, as far as this game is concerned, I'm hoping they run the football. I'm hoping they run the football a lot more than they have run the football. And obviously, the other team's coverage is going to dictate sometimes. But don't let the defense always dictate what you're going to do. I think David Johnson, we need to find out if David Johnson can carry this team. And then, oh my gosh, how well will the air raid work once you've actually established a running
game? You would think so, right? They have to be able to run the ball. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean run the ball. Oh, they've got to be balanced. I'm not that guy. I'm not standing on my lawn. Get off my lawn. Are you kidding me? This kind of football won't work. No, that's not what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. But you need to be able to run the ball and do it effectively. It's more situationally. You have to be able to run the ball. And I would say where we're seeing that, first and foremost, front and center, Basinonians, is in the red zone. The Cardinals have to become more balanced in the red zone. They don't have to run the ball and be balanced out on the field, but they do need to run the ball effectively in the red zone. I don't think there's any denying that. They're, number 31, as a matter of fact, in red zone offense. Number 31
in the
National
Football
League,
right? How many
teams are in the NFL? There's 32.
Uh-oh.
The NFL red zone is a different animal than the college red zone. It is. It's completely the hash marks limit your options, all right? The hash marks are different. The square footage is reduced greatly, of course, in the NFL. The players are better. The players are faster. And the players are sitting around all week watching offenses play in the red zone instead of going to accounting 101.
I love just the simple phrase, less space, faster, smarter players.
Yes, faster, smarter players, where this is all they're doing. They're not going to accounting. They're not. They're not going to computer science. They're not going to the class. They're sitting there all week long just preparing for you and stopping you in the red zone. Windows get small in the red zone. You see two safeties high a lot. You have to run the ball, I think, effectively in the red zone. And when I say that, again, I'm not talking about ripping off 8 yards a carry every time you hand the ball off in the red zone. I'm not. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take it, but that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about being able to hand the ball off and getting 4 yards.
This is from earlier in the week. This is Monday. But I really like what Kingsbury said. And of course, you know, the typical, we got to execute and I got to play better calls, but listen, or call better plays. But listen to what he says after that. And every time he talks about stuff like this, I really feel like it's a guy growing. And this is a really smart man. If Kingsbury wasn't that smart, I wouldn't care about, I would appreciate the accountability, but I wouldn't have thought, I don't think it would have led to better things.
Smart and humble is a great way to go.
But when I hear him say things, knowing he's smart enough to say, you know what, this is where I can improve, I believe him.
We got to do a better job as a staff and myself. himself of putting them in a situation to be successful when we get down there. And you can't waste plays. You, in this league, you can't get to third and long at the 10-yard line. It's a tough out.
And when he says, I can't waste plays, that makes so much sense that every play has to be, and we've heard the line, every play called is designed to score a touchdown. But the truth being told, every play you call, it's got to be, I believe this call is going to either A, score the touchdown, or give me enough yards to set up whatever I'm planning on doing next. And you got to be able to do both at the same time. And I don't really think he has in the red zone.
Yeah, you know, I think you're probably right about that right now. Listen, can the Cardinals run the ball in the red zone? This is a huge point. I said point number one, the ability of the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray to throw the ball against that pass defense, a very good pass defense for the Carolina Panthers. That's matchup number one for me. Number two is the ability to run the ball in the red zone against the Panthers. This is where they need David Johnson to be Dirty Dave. This is where they need him to be Dirty Dave. But it starts with a plan. It starts with Cliff Kingsbury. It starts with the plan. It evolves into resolution. Then it morphs into mentality. That mentality demands physicality. That's what happens. It morphs eventually into mentality. And that mentality demands physicality. Can they do it? That's what I want to know. Number 25 in rushing yards per game, the Carolina Panthers. Again, it's through two games. The sample size is inaccurate. It's too small. It's insufficient. But right now, that's all we have to go on. That and the fact they're giving up 4.22 yards per carry. The Carolina Panthers haven't been lights out against the run. The Cardinals need David Johnson to be Dirty Dave, and they need to run the ball well in the red zone.
Totally agree.
That's point two.
Get lower level tickets for just $19.87. You can see your number 24 ranked Arizona State Sun Devils take on Colorado Saturday night. Do you want the lower level tickets at a reduced rate? Text Devils to 620-620, and that'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's text Devils to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special.
Five-star games. Five-star games. Oh. Five-star games. Five-star games. The NFL's best games with Doug and Wolf. Brought to you by Fry's Food Stores. Fresh food, famous low prices. Sign up and save now at friesfood.com.
This is going to be good right here. There is only one five-star game, ladies and gentlemen. One game to bring them all in the darkness and bind them. One game. The Ravens at the Chiefs. The Ravens at 2-0 right now. The Chiefs at 2-0 as well, right? The brutality of the Baltimore Ravens against, oh my goodness, all of the beauty of the Kansas City Chiefs and their offense. The illusion of complexity, right? Who's going to win out in this one right here? Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, that is your five-star game.
Five-star game with Doug and Wolf.
Isn't it kind of sad?
That's beautiful. That is going to be a beautiful game right there, is it not?
I think it's kind of, I remember quite a few years where there were some great 2-0 versus 2-0 matchups, and that's the only one.
That's it.
That's kind of sad to me. Coming up next, Cardinals' first win of the season. Will it come against the Panthers? I say yes. John Clayton, you're our NFL Doug and Wolf insider. What do you think? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.